And I'm going to read a little bit from Acts 17, and then Rodrigo is going to come and preach from 1 Thessalonians for us. So first of all, just a short reading from Acts 17. Acts 17, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they put Jason and the others on bail and let them go.
We will read 1 Thessalonians 1, and you will see about this church that was born in Acts 17. 1 Thessalonians 1:1-10. The gospel arrived in reality. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed to the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become now everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from the idols to serve the living and true God and wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. We can have some certainties in our life. We can be sure about some things. But sometimes we are sure about some things, but they changed. This passage is saying about the certainty that Paul had about this church. This text shows us this certainty that Paul says about that church. And this church had become a model for other churches. And this is a model for us as well. The church of Thessalonica is a model for us. But what proves that the gospel arrived on that church? This prayer, this letter that is starting with Paul introducing himself, Silas, and Silas and Timothy just introduce this church, the church of Christ in God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a group of pagans of the first century, Greek, that they rejected either idols to serve God. And they gave a great impact in the world that they lived around. The word of God was quickly spread around the church in Macedonia and Achaia and some parts of the region where they lived. They were example for the church around, and they are examples for us as well. They became now not just the things that they left, the idols, but because faith, love, and hope that they show. Do we feel like a really Christian? What can people pray for us? Can people pray for us for our love, hope, and faith? What is the love that we are showing in a church that we lived in? Paul saw that this Christian and their lives was vibrant, and the transformation between a challenge and in the problems that they passed through. Paul had visited Thessalonica with Silas, and preaching had changed some people. And these people, in 3 weeks, they received the gospel. And the gospel arrived in reality. How does the gospel have to arrive in our lives to understand the gospel properly? Sometimes we pass more than 3 weeks. We pass more time than that. Listen to the gospel. But sometimes we receive some people that after a year in a church, we know that our context is different because some of us don't know or didn't know anything about the Bible and how to read the Bible and how to open the Bible, which books are in the Bible. But this letter, this first letter, maybe one of the first letters of the New Testament, was written to a church that Paul was forced to live very new. 3 weeks just. One missionary working in the church and working, preaching the gospel to people. After 3 weeks, he left. But this church became one example for the other church. Was the church of Thessalonica dependent on Paul? I think not. Timothy was sent to this church to preserve between the hardship. There were many problems on that infant church. Some people says that Christ had came back. We can see that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But this church became an example for us. And what can we see about this prayer that Paul says here that shows us that the gospel arrived? Verse 2 to 5, after Paul introduced himself, Silas and Timothy. And he says that this is the church of the Thessalonica or the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say just grace and peace to you. Paul begins with his thanksgiving by believers in that city, showing that the gospel had really become a truth for them. He gives thanks for them, and a great way to express our gratitude for someone is how we pray for some people, what's the content of our prayers. Paul then does it, saying their names. People, we always give thanks, thank God for all of you. The third letter of John, John finishes the letter saying, the church give thanks to you, name by name, or send some salute to you. Remembering three things that show that the gospel arrived in this church. Paul uses a lot these three things, that is faith, hope, and love. Faith that works, the love that is I'm free to love, and a hope that is firm. Three things that show that the gospel actually arrived. This is characteristics of Christians, of believers. Faith that works, faith that is showed, faith that can believe in God. I remember that when John Wesley was in the ship coming back from America, and he was coming back to UK. In the history, we can read that, and was a great storm. In the middle of this great storm, he listened some guy singing. It was a guy called Moravian, so from Moravia. I don't know how to say that in English, but John Wesley went to that group and asked, why are you singing in the middle of this storm? And they answered, the God that we serve in life and death. We are ready to serve God with our death as we live for Him. And it was very important for John Wesley. But we need this faith that is working. Faith that we can be confident that no death, nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ. We need this. We need the selfless love. One who is ready to love. Sometimes in our church that we work, we cannot see that. Sometimes we can see people ready to gossip about the life of someone. People ready to say bad things about the other. But we are never ready to love. But this church was a church ready to love. And we need that. We need to be ready. I'm ready to do good things. I'm ready to help people. I'm good to love not just the people that do good things for me, but to love people that sometimes it's difficult to love. Sometimes it's difficult to love the pastor, the leader. Sometimes it's difficult for the leader to love the church. But this is not a kind of a feeling. It's a responsibility that we have to love one another, showing that the gospel arrived in our lives. In a firm hope, what do you expect that to arrive? Do we have a hope that is firm on God or does hesitate sometimes? I know that sometimes we have doubts, but our hope should be always in our Lord. But the gospel really arrives because they have faith, love, hope, and because they were chosen by God. It's very good to see that God's election is one of the beautiful doctrines of the Bible. Sometimes we could think that someone should not be in the church, but this is not my job. I don't have the responsibility to say who can be the member of the church. But this God that called people to be member and part of His church, because the church belongs to Him, is God's choice. Once I talked with my cousin, and he said, I'm not going to church anymore. I don't like some kind of people, this and this and this. And I asked him, what are you doing now? He said, I'm just having songs with my children, my wife, and sometimes with my mom, my father. I said, this is not a church. You are choosing the people to have a service with you. But the people that God chosen maybe is so different of us. Other culture, other language, other kinds of things that he likes, that I don't like. But it's God's chosen. If he is God, the God that he can do that, that is good because we are on his hands. It's God that can choose. And they were chosen by God. We always thank God for you, mentioning in our prayers your names. We continue to remember before God and Father, endurance, hope, love. But because God loved you and chose all of you. But one thing that this text shows as well, the gospel really arrived because I have faith, love, hope. I'm chosen by God, but the gospel came by words, but not just by word. It's very good to know that the way that God chose was to listen his voice through man, and that can explain the Bible. But it's not just that. It's not just that. We say, there is an expression, I don't know if it's an English or American or Brazilian, or who did write that, that says, the Holy Spirit without the words, he cannot say. At the same time, the words without the Holy Spirit is something deaf, something that die, or something that kill us. Some people think that they can become a believer without a word. But the gospel needs God's word because God chose this way for people to listen. The faith comes by listen, not by see, not by feeling, not by anything that I can agree or disagree, but what I listen. And I need to listen the gospel. I need to listen the words. Word, but not just the word. Word and power of the Holy Spirit with conviction that only the Spirit gives to us. This is why when we preach, we pray and we ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding. Even the person that is preaching. Sometimes we can see that. Once my sister, she studied a lot and she did one exam to be one assistant in Brasilia for someone in Brasilia. And she was preaching the gospel to one lady that was in the gym with her. And that lady never understood the gospel. After some years, he met this lady on the First Presbyterian Church in Belo Horizonte. And she asked her, why are you here waiting for receive some? Oh, because you preach the gospel for me. No. She said, the guy that is in Brazil is very poor, that works from the night to the morning, taking care for the building that I live. He just said, You need Jesus in your life. And the Holy Spirit uses this guy, maybe not so intelligent like my sister, to say or to talk about Jesus with this lady. And this lady became a believer. The gospel arrived in full conviction. The gospel really arrived in this church in Thessalonica. Faith, hope, love, chosen by God. With words, yes, but with the action of the Holy Spirit is what we pray in at this night, that the Holy Spirit can put these words in our hearts and change our life. And they become a model. They become a group that could be imitated. They imitate Paul and the Lord Jesus through suffering. The God that we serve when everything is fine, when things are not very well, when I have money and when I don't have, when my health is good and when it's not good. True suffering, word and suffering walk together. This word that brought to Paul to leave Thessalonica now had brought to this group suffering, choose the same guys that was from the same city, that was born in the same place. And they suffering together. Word and suffering walk together. Why? Because Jesus, that is the word, that he became flesh, he suffered. It's so beautiful to see when we have communion and we see the blood and the bread represent Jesus. But when we suffer something, we say, oh, what is happening here? Why God permit these things happening with me? We know that it's not our suffering that is something to help the suffering of Jesus. But we are imitators of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if we look to him, we can pass by suffering sometimes. And this church, and because their testimony, the message rang out from you, not only to Macedonia and Achaia. We know that England sends so many missionaries, UK, with some missionaries from Scotland to the world. But because we received this benefit from you, and because you are fruits from these benefits, these guys in the past that they were faithful to the gospel, we need to pass this message. We have to keep the gospel. And to keep the gospel is not to close the Bible and to live in a better place in our home and with some very good lights over the Bible and is very kept there. No, to keep the Bible or to guard the gospel is to read the gospel and pass this to our sons and daughters and neighbors and everyone in our side. Themselves, they became a model. Three verbs that he used from the verse 9 that show that changed their lives. First, they turn from idols. And it's interesting to think about this church. This church is not just pagans, but there were some Jews as well. Jews, they didn't have idols. What kind of idols they have? All of us, we have some, or we had some in the past, and now we don't have because we turn from idols to live to Jesus Christ. But this church, they themselves report what kind of reception you give to us. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve. To live the gospel is not just to live some things. We need to live some things, sins and habits that is not good, but we need as well to serve. We are called to serve. There is a book in Portuguese, I think it's from Charles Swindoll, I think he's American, that who does not serve, doesn't serve. Who is not ready to serve, doesn't serve to help in the church, cannot be, cannot participate in the service of the church. It's very good, this word in English that we don't have in Portuguese. We don't call the worship or the service. We call cult or adoration or worship. But it's a service because we turn from idols to serve God. And my question is, did you serve in this church? Are you serving in this church? Or are you here to be served? Are you here to people to see you and to help you and everything in you? And you are never helping in the church. There are so many things to do. There are so many jobs and works inside the church. And sometimes we can see just some working. But we are called to serve as well. Imitators of Jesus. Jesus was, as we listened this morning, he is the king that came to serve. And he called us to serve as well. To serve and to wait. We are not some people that just wait. We are not looking to the heaven, as Sarah said in the morning to the children, waiting for the returning of Jesus Christ and doing nothing. No, we are serving God. We are serving God, waiting for us for his return. It's like two people in the bus stop, and one asks the other, "What do you do here?" And he said, "I'm waiting for the bus." And this guy said, "Why did you do this question? When we are in the bus stop, we cannot do anything. We just wait." There are some Christians living like that. I'm just waiting for Jesus' return. But we don't sit in the chair and wait. While we are waiting for Christ to return, to come back again, we serve. We turn it and we serve. We need to serve God because of that we are here. How can we serve God? We serve God sharing people or sharing with people about the gospel. While we wait, there is something to do. Serve God. And serve God, we return to the matter of hope. Why do I serve God? Because he is my hope. And the gospel came to that church. And the gospel came to us as well. How the gospel need to come to us? Have you faith in Jesus Christ? Is he your hope? Do you love people? Do you serve God? Are you confident that God chose you? Words. We need words. But we need the Holy Spirit. Conversion, or turn, serves, and wait. Wait for Jesus, who rescued us for his or God's wrath. God's wrath is not like our wrath or when we are angry. God manifested his wrath on the cross in Jesus. And we stand forgiven at the cross. What does God want of me and you? That we listen this evening, this prayer that Paul give thanks for that church. That we leave idols and we serve God. Waiting the revelation of Jesus Christ, who rescued us from his wrath. It is what God wants us to do. And may God help us, those who already received the gospel, already have the Holy Spirit living in your lives. Serve him. Love people in your church. Serve in your church. If you are not serving, it's time to serve. It's time to be part of the church. The church is always needing some people to share so many things that have to do. If you are not a believer, my prayer this evening and post prayer here is giving thanks to God because the gospel arrived to that city. And God does not exclude any cultures or any person or any people or any nation. He still chosen people from every nation. And we could give thanks because God use us to tell people about the gospel. Waiting for his revelation, can we serve to God while we are here? May God bless us and help us to live this word.